I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class.
Morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed and my faith grows stronger, and I learn how to be an overcomer. The proverb says in the Amplified that the strong spirit of a man will sustain him or her in bodily pain or trouble. If you had to pick between a weak spirit and a strong body, or a strong spirit and a weak body, you should pick the strong spirit.
Yes.
Right?
Oh, yes.
The thing is, you can have both.
Yeah.
Strong spirit and a strong body. But if your spirit's weak and your body's strong, and then your body has a problem, you don't have the ability to deal with that. But the scripture said the strong spirit of a person will sustain them even in bodily pain and trouble. A strong spirit is the spirit of an overcomer,
yes,
more than a conqueror.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And that has to do not with your head, not with your mental, not with your physical, but with the spirit part of your being. And that's why one of the big reasons we have Faith School is, you know, there are places, you know, lots of restaurants you can go, and there's home, and there's groceries, and there's cooking that feeds your body. That doesn't feed your spirit. There are intellectual things you can do, and there are schools and colleges and universities and all that kind of thing to feed your intellect. That doesn't feed your spirit. Are y'all listening?
Yes.
Feeding the intellect is not the same as feeding the spirit. The proverb also said, one of the proverbs said, trust in the Lord, in the third chapter, with all your heart, don't lean to your own understanding. So you can have a head full of stuff and yet have very little in your spirit and be weak and empty in your spirit. But God, who is spirit, is the Father of spirits.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And Jesus said, man shall not live by by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds and comes out of the mouth of God. Anointed words of God feed your spirit.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Go right into your spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond your mind, beyond your understanding, goes right into your spirit and strengthens you and quickens you so that what previously seemed unreachable and impossible seems entirely doable,
yes,
havable,
right,
gettable.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
And the change was not in your head or your body, it was in your spirit.
That's right.
So, Father, all of us agree together, looking to you, reaching to you, the Father of spirits and the source of all spiritual nourishment and help and strength. And we say, Lord, give us this day our daily bread, and give us what we need for now. And we purpose to hold on to it and to respect it and to be doers of it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We've been for weeks now here in Faith School on the series we're calling Faith for Provision. And we've been giving one by one reasons, in the process of giving 30 reasons from Scripture why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Would you like to say that out loud?
Yes.
Abundant provision,
is always
God's will,
for us all.
Abundant provision, is always God's will, always
God's will
for me.
For me.
That's today.
Yes.
That's tonight. That's tomorrow. That's the rest of the week. It is God's will for all your bills to be paid.
Amen.
All your needs to be met. Even good desires.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
This is beyond your needs.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible said He gives us richly all things to enjoy. And Romans 8:32 says, if God didn't spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? If the Lord would give you Jesus, what's a car? What's a house? What's clothes? What's food? You see what we're saying? No, don't listen to the lies and let yourself be confused. I know people say, well, you know, hey, no, you know, God has chosen for some people to be, you know, in poverty and born that way and live that way, and others to be rich. We don't know why. It's a great mystery. No, that's wrong. That's wrong. Just because something is that way doesn't mean God made it that way, or that He ordained it or planned it to be there, or that it pleases Him. All kind of things are happening in the earth that don't please God, and they're not His will. You find His will in His Word, unchanging. And so that's why we're giving you the Word. Reason, truth, after truth, after truth. And we're down now to number 15 in our study, and we're calling it Provision in the Wilderness. And we saw that the Lord uses that term repeatedly about how He provided for His people that He brought out of Egyptian bondage in the wilderness or in the desert. What's the significance of that? In the desert, there is no provision. There's nothing. You know, in these vast swaths of these deserts, in most of it, there would be no water you could find, and there was no greenery, no plant life, nothing. It's not something that sustains human life. And yet, God sustained them abundantly for four decades. 1.5 million people, scores of thousands of head of livestock, and yet nobody starved to death in the desert. Nobody died from lack of water in the desert for 40 years. So God is saying, I don't have to have what you think you have to have. I can provide for you from outside the systems.
Hallelujah.
Huh? He has resources.
Yes.
Beyond the earth. Outside the earth. So sure, He uses people and He uses things that are already in the earth to provide for us, but He's not limited to that.
Right.
And the manna came out of the sky, and the water came out of the great depths, and the fresh meat flown in from over the sea. They had no idea where it could come from or how it could happen. Moses himself, like we were looking at yesterday, saying, Lord, where are you going to get it? Where are you going to get it? And the Lord says, you think my hand is waxed short? You think I can't do this? Let's not be guilty of that.
Right.
Questioning God's ability or questioning His goodness.
Yes.
Hebrews 11, you know, 6 talks about this. He that comes to God must believe that God is. Well, if He's God, He's got the power. He's got the ability. He's got the... If He doesn't have the ability and power, He's not God. But that's not the only thing you must believe. And you must believe He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. You got to believe. You reach out to Him, He'll respond.
Yes.
He's a rewarder.
Yes.
Not only can He do it, He will do it.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
For you. Say it out loud, Lord, I do believe.
Lord, I do believe.
You can do it.
You can do it.
You can do anything.
You can do anything.
Nothing's too hard for you.
Nothing's too hard for you.
And I believe.
And
You are a rewarder
of
those that seek you.
You
said,
those who seek you
shall not want any good thing.
That's me.
Hallelujah. That's me. That's what we started talking about in our very first reason. The Lord is my shepherd, my good shepherd. I shall not want. And the 34th Psalm, he talked about what we just quoted. They that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. He mentioned about how the lion and the young lion, the strongest of the strong, can want and go hungry. But not those who trust in the Lord and look to Him. They shall not want or lack any good thing. That's why we can be so bold in saying it's always God's will.
Always.
Right?
Always.
For all of us to have abundant provision, and He can do it.
Amen.
Anywhere.
Yes.
In your city.
Yes.
In your town.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
In your family. Yes. In your household. Yes. Don't say, yeah, but you know, we're going, they closed the factory, mm-hmm. and there's been such a time of depression here. You think God can't do it? You think His hand is short? He looked at your little town and go, ooh, not there. Are you kidding? No. I want to hear you say it. He can do it here.
He can do it here.
For me.
For me.
Where I am.
Right now.
He can do it.
He can.
He can do it. He can do it. Now look with me, if you would, over in 1 Kings the 17th chapter. We talked about a number of times and places where God provided spectacular, miraculous provision. And He delights in showing mercy, doing things that people don't deserve, and doing what men think is impossible. Mm-hmm. He enjoys doing it that way. And He does it on purpose. And He even, one of the expositions of the writings of the prophets, He talked about, He said, because they were worshiping false gods and this, and He said, I'm going to do something right now that nobody ever thought of. I'm paraphrasing. He said, you can't say that your false gods that you're worshiping came up with it or knew about it. No, you can't, because I'm doing it right now. Nobody's earth. And He talks about, I am God, and there's nobody else God with me. There is no other God. One time He said, I don't know of any other God. Well, God, don't you know everything? Yeah. You don't know of any other gods? Nope, don't know of any. What does that mean? There ain't none. But in this case, you see a similar thing. It wasn't the desert, but it was a similar situation. In chapter 17 in verse 1, Elijah, the Tishbite, the prophet who was the inhabitants of Gilead, said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Now you might say, why would he say that? Well, all you got to do is back up to the last verses of the previous chapter. And it tells about how Ahab began to reign. And verse 31, this is chapter 16, 31, said, as it had been a light thing to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, and he created calves to worship. And they forsook God and replaced God with a couple of molten calves. And that was the light stuff to Ahab. He went beyond it. He took Jezebel, the wife of Ethbaal, and they went and served Baal and worshiped him. They were involved in human sacrifice, child sacrifice. They were involved in the most abominable things and totally forsook God. And so the man of God, the prophet of God, had a word from the Lord that there was going to be something to shake this country and get people's attention. And it was by, he said, the Lord told him that there was going to be no rain. And see, rain is blessing and from God. Well, then they've rejected God. So why should he rain on them? Does he owe them any rain?
No.
He doesn't. And so in the 17th chapter, that word came. He said, there's not going to be any dew or any rain for years, but according to my word. Well, it won't take long for things to get in a terrible condition. If there is zero moisture, I mean, everything will dry up and die. And this went on for years. And so the Lord tells him, get out of here. Why? Because if you read the rest of the account, it wasn't long until Ahab and Jezebel was trying to find him and kill him. So get out of here and go eastward and hide yourself by the brook Cherith that's before Jordan. And it'll be that you will drink of the brook. And I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. Say what? Huh? Now you got to remember, during a drought for years. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that's before Jordan. And apparently this was a place that would have been easy for him to hide and not a place that people would have thought to look for him. And so he's safe out here. He's got safety and water and food. And he didn't have to work for any of it for years. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh, we'd say meat, bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening. And he drank of the brook. This is a time of drought. And of course, especially after a year and after two, I mean, it hadn't been any crops. And so bread and flour and meat is getting more and more scarce. But God had the raven patrol.
Yeah.
Is that right? And it doesn't matter what you try to lock up, they can fly over your fence. You can put bars on the window, they can fly in between your bars. Grab your biscuit and be gone before you can get up out of your chair. Is this astounding?
Yes.
Or is this amazing?
Amazing?
Could God have done it another way? Sure. Why did he do it this way? It's a demonstration that that I can do it, he's saying, anywhere. It doesn't matter where you are. I can get it to you. Isn't it something? These ravens are sitting on the fence or on the tree and they spy a good piece of meat. Look at that. That's a slice of steak. Grab it up and not just go out and eat it. Fly back and take it to the prophet. He goes, oh man, that's a good looking piece of meat. And I mean, people are starving in the middle of a drought. And he's getting two meals a day. Two meals every day. Astounding. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I know Phyllis and I, when we first started in the ministry, we were working at Brother Kenneth Hagin's ministry there in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And we didn't come from money, and it was taking all the faith we had to believe for the cheapest rent in the tiniest little apartment. And we were there, I don't know, we must have been there at this point. This would have been the mid-80s or so. And I don't remember exactly what it was, but we needed $500, and we didn't have it. And we needed it by X time. And we're learning how to believe God. So we took hands and prayed the prayer of agreement and asked the Lord for that $500. And in faith, expecting, thanking God. Well, the day came and went when we needed to have it, and we didn't have it. And I came in from work, and Phyllis was there. And, you know, so she's asking me, did anything money come to you? And to her, no, no. She looked at me and she said, well, what do you think's going on? Because we're confident God's faithful.
Yes.
And we're confident.
Yes.
God can do it. Mm-hmm. And I said, this came up out of my spirit. I don't know all the details. I do know this. When God uses people, He doesn't force them to do anything. And sometimes people are slow and late about obeying. And sometimes people don't obey at all. Mm-hmm. I said, but that doesn't mean our need will not be met.
That's right.
Hmm? If he wanted a certain person to do it and be a part of it, because he wants them to get the reward and the harvest, mm-hmm. a lot of times he's very long-suffering and merciful, and he'll let it go as long as he can. But it gets to a point where he's got to be faithful to the person believing,
yes.
and so he'll use somebody else. Mm-hmm. And I said, it doesn't matter who he has to use, and we talked about this. I said, you know, he brought it with ravens.
That's right.
Right? If he had to get a little dog to bring it in a paper sack, mm-hmm. it doesn't. Now that may sound, you know, crazy, but it's not crazy.
Mm-hmm.
These kind of things have happened, and I said, I mentioned our elder, Brother Hagin, whom we did not know personally. We had met him, shook his hand, and I was a volunteer, but there were hundreds of staff and volunteers. I said, you believe Brother Hagin can hear from God? We thought, oh yeah, we believe Brother Hagin's a prophet. He's heard from God. I said, if he has to use him or whoever he has to use, our needs will be met. She said, I believe it too. Well, the next day I was at school. We had a little cubicle where I was working as a volunteer. And around the corner, guess who walks through the door?
Brother Hagin.
I sat up in my chair because we didn't know him personally, you know. We're just one of the many volunteers. He said, how you doing today? I said, good, sir, good, sir. He said, the Lord dealt with me about sowing a seed, handed us an envelope with $500 cash in it. I thought, Lord, it's like the Lord was saying to me, what you said is true. I will use whoever I need to use, but I'll get it to you. You will get it. You will have it. And then I took it home and I said, we got the money. We got the money. She said, oh yeah, what happened? I said, guess who brought it? Guess who walked in the door? And she said, no. I said, yeah. It was him. It was him. And it was like the Lord said, you know, just proving what we had said, whoever I have to use. Does God have contacts?
Yes.
Does he have people, many people,
yes.
he can use?
Yes.
People that maybe there's people that won't listen to him, but there are people who will.
Yes.
And he will use whoever he has to.
Yes.
He can use ravens.
Yes.
Ravens. Is this amazing or is this amazing?
Yes.
Verse 6, the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning. And bread and flesh in the evening. Not just bread. He's got meat. He's got bread. This sounds like a sandwich to me.
Yeah.
Is that right? It's a sandwich. You got bread and meat. You got a sandwich.
Yeah.
And it came to pass after a while, the brook dried up. Well, no dew, no rain for years. Everything dried up. There had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came to him saying, get up, get you to Zarephath, and I have commanded a widow woman to sustain you. Not who you would pick in the middle of a drought. You know the story. He went there. He saw her. He said, would you get me a little water in a vessel? That's like asking for gold in the middle of this drought. And she said, I was going to fetch it. And he said, get me a little piece of bread if you would. She said, as the Lord God lives, I got a cake and a handful of meal. I'm gathering two sticks. I'm going to fix it. And me and my son, we're going to eat our last meal and die. And Elijah said, well, don't be afraid. Go do what you said, but make me a little cake first. Bring it to me. And after that, make for you and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste. The cruse of oil will not fail till the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. And she had enough faith, she went and did it.
Yes.
You can see why the Lord sent him to her,
yes.
right?
Yes.
Because a lot of folks would have cussed and told him where to go, right?
Yes.
And no, not her.
No.
She did it, and then she and he and her house, yes. sounded like her relatives came over, did eat for many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, the cruse of oil did not fail, according to the word of the Lord that was spoken by Elijah. He didn't have to find rich people.
No.
Right? He didn't have to find somebody that had a lot. She had next to nothing. God can do a lot with a little.
Yes.
He can take a tiny amount and multiply it until it can feed multitudes.
Yes.
Do we have faith in our great God to provide for us?
Yes.
No matter where we are, no matter what's going on, what we know, who we don't know, none of that makes any difference. If we will believe Him and listen to Him, if He has to use people who have next to nothing, if He has to use ravens, if He has to use Brother Hagin, is that right? Whoever He has to use, He's faithful. I said He's faithful. He will do it. He will do it. And we will have it. Everybody said out loud, I have faith. I'm fully persuaded that my God is able to keep me and provide for me. And I will have more than enough of everything I need every day of my life. And I will give God the glory. Hallelujah. 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 Provision in the wilderness. Well, our time's up again today, but come back next time. We're just reason number 15. There's a lot more reasons to go. We'll see you soon back here in Faith School. Well, I've really enjoyed being with you again this week. The Lord's helping us, quickening us. The Holy Spirit's involved in this. That's why it gets so exciting to you. I always like to speak over our partners at the end of every week. I know a lot of you are believing with us, even sowing into us. And like we were talking, you don't have to know who, you don't have to know how, but God will take care of you. Don't try to tell Him who to use, but just believe He can do it without knowing how. Father, I join faith with all of our partners, and I speak increase over everyone. And I join in faith of harvests coming back on every good seed they have sown into us and into the ministry supporting us. And we call every bill paid, we call every need met, and we say, God knows how. It is happening. It will happen. We are abundantly provided for in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Be led in everything you do. Don't just do things randomly. Don't just respond to opportunities and what people are suggesting. Pray. Spend some time praying and get direction and follow that witness, and it'll be right every time. We love you. Believing with you, just what we prayed. We'll see you again soon back here in Faith School.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today. But you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.